So please turn to Isaiah 42, please. I just have one announcement before we start with prayer. Is the church picnic is canceled today. So, sorry, I used that. Isaiah 42. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that we can have your word this morning. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of your mouth. Teach us in these last days. Oh God, help us to meditate on your word day and night. Help your word to be the light unto our path and the lamp unto our feet that guides us in this very, very dark hour that we live in, Lord. Lord, we know we work while we have light, for once that final darkness comes, no man can work. So Father, help your word to prepare us for the work that we have, to follow you, to witness to others, to share with our family members and loved ones, and we'll give you the praise forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 42, and this chapter is called The Lord's Servant. And I have been reading Isaiah lately, and I really felt led to bring forth the message from here. It really touched me. And I believe this chapter is important because it hit me. The Bible says that Paul, when Jesus came to him, Saul of Tarsus, when Jesus came to him and knocked him off his horse and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He was sent to Ananias and he was blind and then he was healed. And where did he go? He didn't go to the disciples. He didn't go to the apostles. Where did he go? He went to Arabia. Why? To study God's word, to find out why his whole life, his thinking had been wrong and where he was wrong. And I believe when he went to Arabia, he read Isaiah 42. And I believe he read Isaiah 53. And I believe he read all of the prophecies about the man, the Christ child who would come into the world, the God in the flesh who would save us from our sins. And so I'm just going to start out here. In Isaiah 42 and verse 1, it says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry out, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, a smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." It starts out by saying, and by the way, I thank God, and this is a small thing, small blessing that we have, but a lot of churches nowadays are moving to project the scriptures on the wall. And I don't believe that's a good thing. And let me tell you why. I'm not against technology. You know me. I'm in the technology field. But part of when we come together, we're searching the scriptures. We're being Berean. We're learning to cascade through God's word and navigate, to negotiate and find all these scriptures. That's why it's so important to have our Bibles. And in the churches, I was recently, I had to do some work in Boston, and I was gone in New York. And I stopped at some churches out there, and they're all projecting the scriptures on the wall. And guess what? Nobody brings their Bibles anymore. Nobody actually brings the Word of God. Okay? You know, we're not here to give you the Word of God. We're here to search the scriptures with you so that each of us can know God's Word himself and be equipped. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of God's mouth. And as a minister, for us to do our job, you know, all of us are ministers, if the truth be known. When you have Bible studies with your children, search the scriptures. Teach them to navigate, to find the scriptures. They need it. That's their life. Okay. Praise God that we haven't gone that path, and I pray that we never do. But it says, "My servant, whom I uphold, mine elect." Okay. Jesus is the elect. Jesus is the only one who was qualified for election. Jesus is the only one who could even get on the ballot. Okay. you and I, we fail. We fall short. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We don't qualify to be the elect. I don't even qualify because I was born into sin. Okay. Jesus has special election. Now, there's a big argument between covenant theology and dispensational theology that says there's the elect and there's the non-elect. You're either the elect of God, you're chosen by God before the foundation of the world, or you were chosen as a vessel of wrath. And it's part of the Calvinistic theology that all fits into their covenant theology, but they use tulip. Have you guys ever heard that? Tulip. Okay. Strangely enough, Calvinism's back and big and powerful and moving in many of the churches. Tulip says people are totally depraved. Well, it's a partial truth. We are fallen. We are depraved. We are born in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. Okay. But not so depraved that we can't respond to God's grace. The grace of God has been poured out on the world, teaching us to deny, poured out on all men. Okay, so that's wrong. Unconditional election, where you're just elected by God. Okay, that's what they say. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter the conditions. There are no strings attached. Okay, that's not true either. You will not be saved if you do not believe. You will not be saved if you practice sin. If you practice and continue in sin and reject the grace and the life that God gives and don't confess your sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Limited atonement, which is blasphemous, saying that Jesus only died for a few people, for the elect, tulip. Okay, that's blasphemous. He says Jesus tasted death for every man. He died for all of us, for God so loved the world. Okay. Irresistible grace. He drags you kicking and screaming. There's nothing you can do. When you're elected, you're elected. I had an argument in Israel with one of the top Bible scholars, quote, in the nation. And I said, I don't buy that. I don't buy that Jesus drags us kicking and screaming. That sounds more like Allah. Yeah. That sounds more like the God of the Mohammedans, okay, forcing you to convert at the edge of the sword. No, he's too dignified and he loves us. He's too dignified to force anything. Right. God's not coercive. He loves us, okay? He gave himself for us. And then perseverance of the saints, which is very similar to a concept people believe as once saved, always saved, okay? To be honest, I wish that were true. I wish in my experience and my scripture reading that once you accept God, everything, all your problems go away and you follow him the rest of your life and everything goes well. I wish that were the case. But in my experience, that's not my experience. The very man that brought me to this church and showed me that I needed to be born again went off and has left the Lord and it will never turn back, I don't think. Because he went after the wicked woman. And like Pastor prayed, the dead are there. And little did he know that her feet are in hell. And he's not going to recover. Okay. The very person that brought me. So, Tulip, Jesus is the elect. He's the only elect. He's the only one that qualifies for election. And if you're in him, you're part of that election. Do you believe that today? If you hold on to him and believe on him, cling to him. Believe in him, trust in him, commit your way to him, trust in him. He'll bring us through. He'll take us up that escalator. He's coming someday soon. The elect is coming for the election, the ceremony to occur. The king is going to be crowned and we are going to be with him to those who believe and to those who are called according to his purpose. Praise God. In whom my soul delights. The Father delights in the Son. Why? Because the Son is faithful. The Son is faithful. And he can help us to be faithful. Okay. I have put my spirit upon him. And he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry. You think about it. All of us are here today. We're Gentiles. Most of us. I don't think Joe Levinson's here. He could be. But in all of us, it's only because of God. What were our ancestors doing? Worshipping rocks, killing each other, raping, pillaging, barbarians, Vikings. As we turn away from Christianity, look at what's going on in Europe. Okay, the barbarians are coming in and they're just giving up. Okay, there's no moral courage. There's no confidence to stand up to this plague. In fact, they'd rather convert in most cases than actually, you know, what is truth? What is religion? Why not convert? Okay, he gave truth to our Gentile ancestors in Europe and Africa and Asia and America. But that's starting to be lifted. That grace is leaving. We've rejected it. We're like the Philistines who received the ark. Who received the ark of God. And they had Jesus there. But they couldn't stomach him. They couldn't handle the fire. They couldn't handle the truth. And they pushed it right back to Israel. Well, that's what the Western world is doing right now. He shall not cry out nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard. A bruised reed he shall not break. A smoking flax he shall not quench. Are there any bruised reeds in here? In fact, the Bible says you better be bruised. You better fall on the rock. The rock is the Word of God. And what's the Word of God say? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You shall have no other gods. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Think a bad thought. For I am the Lord your God. I'm holy. You shall honor your father and mother. Oh God, I'm so bruised. I fall so short. I'm so crooked and broken and bent. Jesus, help me. If the law does its work in our life, it draws us right to the feet of Jesus. If it has its way in our heart, there's no other choice but God himself. God can't come down. Or we can't go up. No man has ascended to heaven. You know, like Oprah Winfrey says, in all the different paths to God, all the different religions are like different paths up a mountain. And to say that your path is better than another path is bigoted or prejudiced and hateful. Okay, she doesn't know her left hand from her right hand. She doesn't know, man, there is no path to God. There's no stairway to heaven. God has to come down. Jesus, save me. I'm lost. I'm fallen. I'm headed for hell. My light's going out. Smoking flax, he shall not quench. Okay, my light's going out. I knew when I was 22, I heard the call of the Lord. If you don't answer now, if you don't turn to Jesus now, you never will. I don't know what it was. Did anybody else hear that voice? If you don't get right with God now, you never will. Okay. I used to think that all old people were saved. I don't know why. They were nice. They were jolly. Until I started going, I had a little ministry in a nursing home. And I started, you know, reading the Bible and doing little messages and playing my guitar. And what I found is that you get, you know, late in life into your 50s, 40s, 50, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you spent your whole life blocking God. You spent your whole life saying, no, I'm not going to go to that church. I don't need to. I got stuff to do. I got work. By the time you get into your 70s and your 80s, you're a professional. It's just reflexive. Hey, would you like to pray? Well, hey, would you like? Nope. Hey, I've already. Okay. People get harder. You don't stay the same. Sin changes you. Right. Rejecting God, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, holding out, it changes you. You get harder. Has anybody seen that in their own life? Okay. Lord, please soften me to the way I was. Bring me back to that first day. He shall not fail. He shall not be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. God's not going to fail. Everything is going according to plan. Everything. Jesus was preaching a sermon one time, and thousands of people had left him because he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And everybody left him. And Jesus looked around and said, are you going to go also? Lord, where are we going to go? And he said, Father, thank you that you haven't revealed yourself to the wise and the prudent, but to babes.
Thank you, Lord.
He says everything's going just according to plan.
That's right.
God's not about big audiences. God's not about mega churches. God's not about worldly appearances of success. He'd rather work with 10 faithful people than 30,000 half-baked, unsaved people who don't want the truth, who want to have their ears tickled, have their itching ears tickled with what they want to hear. Your best life now. I am. You can be the I am. Okay. This is what people are listening to. You can be a homosexual without and still know Jesus. I mean, these are the lies that are being preached in many of our pulpits. But everything's going according to plan. Okay, he will not fail. He's not discouraged. Do you know that I'm certain of it, that Jesus is in heaven waiting for his time. In fact, we're going to read about it here because it literally talks about what's in God's head, what's in Jesus' mind in a few minutes. But he's getting ready to come back. And he's not discouraged at all. He's going to set judgment in the earth. The isles shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, that which comes out of it, he that gives breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit unto them that walk therein. Okay, you read this verse. Creation is in this verse. E equals MC squared, the law of relativity, the law of conservation of energy. How did God create the universe and separate the stars millions of light years? Because God is so big that he can put it out and roll it out just like a tablecloth. Like when I was a kid and went for a picnic with my parents, we'd roll out this big blanket and I'd see a little ant and just think, wow, man, what is it like? Well, imagine us. Okay, imagine, you know, a little atom of that ant, or imagine I'm trying to think of a smaller, an amoeba on the ant. Okay, that's what we're like. We're smaller than that. He's bigger than that.
Amen.
He can roll out the whole universe like a scroll. He created the heavens, and that's as if that weren't enough. He gives breath to all people, and as if that weren't enough, he gives us his spirit, okay? The emotions, the love. I remember one time, Job, I was reading the book of Job, and Job's looking for an answer from God. Why my kids are dead, why I'm sick, why I lost everything. And the Lord finally appears in 38. He finally shows up in a whirlwind. But he doesn't answer Job's question. Some questions you just can't answer. What answer could God have given him that really would have satisfied? Do you understand, God, why are my kids dead? Why am I sick? Why did I lose everything? I love you. And he says, Job, who made the heavens? Do you know who spread it out? Do you know how I did that? And he says, I think like a father. I'm sorry. He says, do you know who gave the deer the ability to have babies? And he says, do you know who gave the ostrich a heart that doesn't care for its kids? Who gave you that heart to care for those kids? Who gave you those kids? He doesn't answer the question, but he does. Okay. What if we didn't have Job? What if we didn't have the book of Job to be able to look to? No matter what pain that we've been through, we know there's somebody that's been through more than we have. Okay? God loves us. And thank God. And Job is in heaven right now. And we're going to thank him for that book and for that love that and his faithfulness to stay faithful. Okay? And it says in the Bible, he gave breath. He gave us our spirit. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. He's called us. I will hold your hand. I'm sorry. This is the Father talking to the Son now. Okay, this is the Father God talking to the Son. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people and a light for the Gentiles. Okay, he's going to send his Son. He's going to send a person who is going to be the new covenant for us. Okay, not like the old covenant that was written on stone tablets. Okay, that where we had to give a sacrifice each year to be forgiven of our sins. No, he's going to make a new covenant. Why don't you turn with me real quick to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And this is, I think, what Paul really hit him. In verse 7, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days I will put my law into their minds. I will write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Okay, a new covenant's coming. That sacrificing a lamb or a goat or, you know, a turtle dove is not sufficient. It doesn't do the work. It's only a foreshadow of what's coming. I'm going to send my Son, who is going to take your place on the cross, who is going to write his law on your heart. And think about it. I mean, think about God's wisdom in what more love. You know, the Bible says greater love is no man than to lay his life down for his friends. What greater act of love could God show us? I tell my kids all the time. I say, I love you guys, but there's someone that loves you more.
That's right.
There is someone that loves you more than me. Why? And what did he do for you? What did he do that I've never done for you? He died for me, Dad. He died for us. Okay, back to our verse, to Isaiah 42. He's called us. He's called him in righteousness. And this man will open the eyes of the blind to bring out the prisoners from their prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I thank God for the ministries that God's given us, reaching out to the prisons and the jails, and how we've seen miracles, men standing before us who were just the night before in jail, incarcerated. Okay, he's given us so many good ministries and so many outreaches. And to open the eyes of the blind, I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, and I will, and my praise to graven image. Nor will I give my praise to graven images. And it says here too, I am the Lord, that is my name. Okay, I'm sorry. Behold, in verse 9, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you them. Okay, this is very important. He's talking about prophecy here. I've given my word, I've given my prophecy. They've been fulfilled up to this point. Okay, we can read on Christmas night. We read prophecies about Jesus. We know they're fulfilled. We know that the chances of them being fulfilled by anybody other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth are more infinitesimal than filling the whole state of Texas up 5 feet deep with quarters and parachuting and hoping to grab one red quarter out of the whole state. Okay, it's even more impossible than that. Okay, but he's given us his prophecy. And in fact, prophecy is important. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter. Actually, I think it's chapter 3. Let me verify it. Maybe it's 2. It says, where does it say it? It says, I've given, the Lord is not slack, beloved.
Three.
Thank you. And knowing, okay, you know what? I'm having trouble finding it, but it's the verse that says, I've given you a more sure. Okay, I've given you, okay. 2 Peter 1, thank you. All right, verse 19, 2 Peter 1. Verse 19, and we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. These prophecies are incredibly important. Pastor preached a sermon a couple weeks ago, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Will he find people that are faithful, waiting for him, looking for him? Okay, Jesus cautioned us, provoked us. He said, pray that you be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. These prophecies are being fulfilled at light speed. We're seeing them right before our eyes. Everything's changing. And like we said, times are getting dark. We need these prophecies. We need to cling to them and hold on to them. We need to know that there's a, you know, Paul said that God's going to pour out a delusion on the whole world. If you can't see the delusion that's going on in Europe and America, where they're saying that Islam is the same God that we worship, it's a God of peace, it's a peaceful religion. If you can't see that, you're doomed. Okay? If you can't see that God brought Israel back from the four corners of the earth to put him right in the land of Israel, you're blind. Okay? Now, Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. Back to Isaiah 42, to open them. Okay, there's a paradox in the Bible, an amazing paradox. And that's that those who are blind are actually the ones that can see. But those who can see are actually the ones who are blind. It's like those who think they're wise in their own eyes are fools. Those who know they're fools are wise. Okay, those who think they can hear can't hear. Those who can't hear can hear. Jesus comes to those who know they can't hear, who know they're blind. We come to God out of desperation. We come to God out of absolute dire necessity because we can't save ourselves. We can't see. We don't know the truth. The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. What has sin done to us? Sin has hardened us. Sin has given us a false hope in our own self, a false trust in our own heart. In fact, if you listen to every one of the movies that are coming out today, Star Wars is probably one of the worst, but every single Disney movie, trust in your heart. Believe in your heart. I don't go by head knowledge. I go by my heart. It's exactly the opposite of what God says. Right. Trust your heart, Luke, is what the Force says. Okay. This is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the spirit of the age. Yeah. This is the zeitgeist. Come on, don't be so hard on those Muslims. You can't tell me every one of them. No, they've got an evil ideology where at any moment they can, sudden jihad syndrome can hit them and they can kill somebody. Why? Because Muhammad said, slay the infidel. Kill every Christian and Jew that you find. So lay for them every ambush. These are the words of Muhammad himself, who was an illiterate and somebody had to write down. Under a demonic possession, he would go into a foaming demonic possession and snap out of it. He almost committed suicide because he knew he was demon possessed. His wife said, no, don't. Maybe God's telling you something. His wife was just as deceived as him. Usually a wife will help a husband and say, no, you're demon possessed. There's something wrong with you. You need help. This wife didn't do that. Okay. Lean not unto your own understanding. What does God say about it? What does God's word say? All have sinned and fallen short. Why does the Western world want to get rid of every last trace of Christianity? Why do they want to take guns away from Christian conservatives? What is the... Because we're the only ones that stand up. We're the only ones that don't go along with our heart, that don't trust in leaders. We don't even trust our own leaders, let alone leaders from some other country in the UN or something. Why don't we trust? Because we know the words of God. All men are sinners. All have fallen short. They're like snakes. They're serpents. Me at my best, I'm still fallen and decrepit. I don't even trust myself. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He will guide and direct your path. And it goes on to say, sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise Him from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea and all that is therein and the isles and the inhabitants thereof, who do you praise? Who do you lift up your hands and praise and worship? I hope it's not the choke eyes. I mean, Hawkeyes. I hope it's not. I hope you don't show more emotion and love and confidence in the Hawkeyes than you do Jesus Christ, who's the living God, who loves us, who's here with us, who heals us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all His benefits, who daily loads us with benefits. I hope your praise and your hands are for Him. I hope your clapping and your worshiping and your whistling are for Him. Praise Him. Did you know John Wesley was born in a Christian family, but it was a proper Christian family in England, and he grew up. He almost died in a fire, and his parents prayed, and God miraculously brought him through a fire, and he felt like he was a good kid. He grew up a good kid, and I thank God for good kids. I don't feel like I was a very good kid, but I always looked up to the ones that were. And he when he got old enough, he said, "I'm going to go out and I'm going to bring goodness to all the natives in America." And he's going overseas, and the ship starts. I mean, there was a huge storm, and the ship started going. Water was flowing in, and he thought, "I'm dead." And he's like, "I'm not. Something's wrong. Help me, help me!" He's screaming. He doesn't know what's going to happen, and he hears some singing. And he looks over, and there's some Moravian Christians from Germany. And they're praising God. "Hallelujah, Lord. If we go down today, we're going to be with You. If You should cause us to go under, we love You. We're going to be with You. Our faith is in You. You have the last word. You tell the beginning from the end. You know what's going on." He said, he couldn't believe it. "I don't have that. I don't have what they have. I thought I was a good person." He comes back to England, a broken man. He doesn't even feel like he's saved. And then his brother and him go to a preacher who's reading out of Romans chapter 3. "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." And something clicked. And John Wesley started going around England. He started preaching in churches. And he got kicked out of a bunch of churches. You know why? Because he said, "I stand before You a sinner today. A sinner, a wretched man, saved by grace. Saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ." And he went into all these dead churches in England. And they kicked him out. But guess who received him? A bunch of coal miners out in the fields. He went out and he started preaching, "I stand before You today a sinner, a broken man who has nothing but the grace of God in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ." And those coal miners and those little kids working in the coal mines came up in droves and got saved.
Praise God.
All right. Sing unto the Lord. I hope I can finish. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise Him. You that go down in the sea, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. And the villages, the Kedar that does inhabit, and the inhabitants of the rock. He's talking about Saudi Arabia. The inhabitants of Saudi Arabia, the most, I mean, all throughout the Bible, and even today, one of the hardest places to reach. These are the sons of Edom and Ishmael. These are the sons, you know, there's other places where the Bible even uses pejorative terms. Okay, because they would not worship the true God. They always had false gods. They always went off. And even today, there's a huge false god, a dark cloud over Saudi Arabia. But there's Christians there singing praises. There's churches in basements singing songs to the Lord. Not too loud. But they're praising Him, and they're lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And they know their heads could get cut off, but they're praising Him. If we don't cry out, the rocks and the stones will cry out. Do you realize that? The dead will hear the voice of the Lord. Have you heard His voice today? Are you willing to praise Him? Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. Okay, now it's changing. This is what's going to happen soon. And the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry. See, the Lord came the first time as a suffering servant in love. He's coming the second time as a man of war. He's coming the second time as a king to judge the earth in righteousness. He's got His sword at His side. And Joel and I were speaking to a group of Muslims, and all they appreciate is power, raw power. All they appreciate is the sword. And I said, you know what? Jesus came the first time as a lamb. Isa, you call Him Isa. He came as a lamb. But when He comes next, He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. He's coming as a lion of the tribe of Judah to render to every man according to His work. Are you ready to meet the lion? And he just looked at me, and I could tell something struck him. I hope anyway. He shall rouse His jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against His enemies. I have long time. Now this is Jesus talking here. This is in Jesus talking Himself. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still. I have refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and I will devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up their herbs. I will make the rivers islands. I will dry up their pools. We used to say in the military, I would hate to be on the other side of the U.S. Army or the U.S. military, because we have drones, we have nuclear weapons, we have tactical weapons. The finest weapons known to man. I would hate to be on the other side of the U.S. military. But you know what? I'm much more afraid to be on the other side of God.
That's right.
Of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Who's coming to judge the world. Praise. The Bible says they're going to turn their guns on Him. They know He's coming. You know, they're planning. They know what's coming. Okay, these people are not stupid. In fact, Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the kings and the earth and the rulers? Okay, the heathen are always going to rage. The people are always imagining a vain thing. It's the kings and the rulers who are set themselves against the Lord. They know He's coming. They know the scriptures. They know the world is changing. It's not because of global warming. And you know what? They know that. They know it's a farce. They know that Jesus is changing the climate. He says, I will dry up their herbs. I will make their rivers islands. You guys ever see a beach? Have you ever seen what happens when a river dries up? It looks like a huge beach. I will dry up their pools. All the aquifers in Saudi Arabia, you should listen to Pastor Bill's message on Wednesday, are drying up. The aquifers in California are drying up. The Ogallala, Matt Fanning, the aquifer that was under his farm is drying up. Everything's changing because the Lord's getting ready to come back. Amen. To judge the world in righteousness. Are you ready to meet Him? Are you prepared? Have you made yourself right with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have you confessed your sin and got right with Him? And I will bring the blind and by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and the crooked things straight. The ones who don't know, the ones who follow Me, I'm going to lead. The ones who know they don't hear, who know they don't see, who know they don't have it figured out, I'm going to lead them. I'm going to make their way bright. The Bible says the way of the righteous grows brighter and brighter and brighter until the day. Is your life getting any brighter because of Jesus? Has He given you light that you never thought you'd have? But the way of wicked is darkness. They know not what makes them stumble. Let me see here. Verse 16. It says, we'll go ahead and continue on in verse 17. They say, they shall be turned back, and they shall greatly be ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to molten images, you are our gods. Hear ye deaf and look, you blind that you may see. Who is blind but My servant, or deaf as My messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as the Lord's servant? Okay. Seeing many things, but you observe not. Opening the ears, but hears not. People who think they see can't see.
Right.
Jesus healed a blind man one time, and the Pharisees were arguing with him. Are you saying that we're blind? And he said, if you were blind, you wouldn't have sin. If you knew that you were blind and lost and dead and deaf and dumb and couldn't do anything, you'd have no sin. You'd be right. But because you think you can see, because you think you're wise, you've got it all figured out, you're blind.
Right.
Saul of Tarsus, you're blind. And God struck him blind. But then when he became blind, he knew he was blind. He knew he needed to see. And it goes on to say, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law. He will make it honorable. But this is a people that is robbed and spoiled. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hid in prison in houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers for a spoil, and none restores. None says restore. Now, this is a deep verse, but let me explain what I'm saying here. Okay. You look at most of Christendom today, most of the Christian West, 80% of Americans claim to be Christian.
Right.
And Europe still has a Christian remnant, okay? But you ask people, is Allah the God of the Bible? Well, yeah, they're the same God. Okay. No. The moon god of the Nabataeans, who's a singular entity, who demands the blood of all his enemies, is not the God of the Bible. That's not the God who loves his enemies, who laid his life down for his enemies. Okay? We've got preachers preaching about your best life now. Or you can be the I am. I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am. Who's the I am? Jesus Christ. He's the I am. God, the Father, I am that I am. We're not the I am. This is Joel Osteen's two biggest books right now. People are spoiled. They're robbed. Hosea said, your priests are like robbers. They come to rob you. What's a robber do? He takes your money. He tells you what you want to hear and takes your money. Fools you. He's a robber. Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. I hate to say this, but even the Methodist church, John Wesley is rolling in his, well, he's in heaven with Jesus right now. He's happy because he did his job in his generation. But his church right now ordains homosexual pastors and lesbian pastors, and they've rejected the word of God. The Spirit's no longer there.
Right.
Okay. But yet they go on. They just keep churning on. And they've been spoiled. And people are snared in holes. Okay. What's a hole? And David said, I think it was in Psalm 40, he said, Lord, you pulled me out of the hole that I was in. You pulled me out of the hole that had miry clay. When I was a kid, I used to play in the construction next to our houses. They'd be, you know, and they would dig the holes, and you know, sure enough, the whole thing was clay, because a lot of Iowa soil is clay underneath a couple feet. And we'd jump in the hole, and if it was really wet, we'd try to, you know, we'd play around, and then we'd try to climb out. But if the sides are clay, you only get more. Your hands get full of clay, your feet get full of clay, your whole body gets full of clay. It's miry, and the more you try, the worse it gets, the less of a chance you actually have to get out. Okay. We teach our kids, kids, stay away from drugs. It's a hole. It's going to suck you in, and it's going to pull you in, and you're going to have a hard time getting out.
That's right.
Okay. Don't, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine, okay? I believe wine's a blessing from God. But like every blessing, it gets misused. Don't be a drunkard. You're gonna do things that you never thought you were going to do. You're going to say things you never thought you were going to say.
Right.
You're going to go places you never thought you were going to go. And in the end, you're going to wake up and want more of it.
Yep.
Okay, it's a hole. Sin is a hole.
Right.
Give it up. Forsake it. Listen to the Lord. If you're in a hole today, Jesus Christ can pull you out. He can pull you out of that miry clay. The more you try to fight and try to do it yourself, the more you're going to fail. It just gets muddier and muddier. But if you say, Lord, you know, the one thing about being in a hole is that you can't look to man. You can't look to psychology or psychologists or some friend of yours. You only got one place to look. Up. Father, save me from drugs. Save me from sin. Save me from this. Set my feet upon a rock. Help me to walk straight paths. And if you stumble, don't stay there. Get up. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Is that good news today? Not only forgive us, but cleanse us from unrighteousness. I want to be cleansed. Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me every day. And he goes on to say, and none delivers. Okay, they're not preaching salvation. They're not preaching repentance. They're preaching your best life now. They're not preaching, and none says restore. Do you know what that word actually means? Repent. Repent. Turn. Turn from your sin. Turn from Islam. It doesn't have life. It's death. Turn from fornication. The dead are there.
Right.
Why do you want to have your feet in hell? Turn from drugs. Turn to me, saith the Lord, and I will heal you. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken? Who will hear for the time to come? We're at the time to come. Who has ears to hear today? Who's listening? Take the earbuds out. Quit going to the movies. Quit turning the radio on every time you get in the car. Listen to Him, His still, soft voice. He's the one that gives peace. He's the one that gives life. He's the one that can deliver you. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to robbers? And did not the Lord against whom you have sinned? For they would not walk in His ways, neither were they obedient. Why are these things happening in the Western world? Why is the United States collapsing? Why are we seeing right before our very eyes our Second Amendment and our First Amendment being stripped away? Okay, it's coming soon, like it or not, like a Mack truck. I don't know what's going to happen between now and the time that it happens, but it's coming. Why are we losing? Why are robbers stealing from us? Why are they inflating the money supply and taking all of our wealth? Why are they taxing us to death? Why are Muslim invaders taking over? It's because we've sinned against the Lord as a country. We've elevated baby butchery above the dignity of a female.
That's right.
We've killed our own. We've allowed homosexuality at the expense of children.
That's right.
Allowing them to be adopted out. I mean, who would even imagine that these sins were possible?
Right.
35 years ago. Baby part mills selling parts. I mean, Obama gets up and he sheds a tear for the poor people killed. And it was horrible. Someone coming into a school and shooting it up, shooting Christians, by the way, pulling Christians up. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And Obama sheds a tear for that. But he has not a single tear to shed for 50 million aborted babies in this country.
Right.
Children given to homosexuals from the time they're born.
Yeah.
In fact, he goes further. He says, God bless Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Okay. Our nation sinned. You know what? There comes a time where God says, don't even pray for this people anymore. Maybe we're there. Maybe we're to the point to where this is not our country. This is not our home. I served in the United States Army. I was willing to lie down my life. I love my country. I thank God for it. But there comes a time where I put God ahead of everything.
That's right.
I have to put the Lord ahead. And if it's going to continue to go this way, you know, maybe we don't belong here. Maybe that's what the rapture's for, is to pull us out of this place, to airlift us out of this sin-sick and forsaken country that would rather kill a baby and give it to a homosexual than to actually allow it to hear the gospel in our schools.
That's right.
Therefore, as he poured out his fury and his anger, his strength in battle, and has set a fire on him, there's a fire burning, There's a fire burning in this country. It burns to the lowest hell. And it burns him. And he laid it not to heart. I'm not sure who will hear. Who will hear? Who will listen in these last days? Jesus said it's going to be like the days of Noah. How many were saved? Eight people. Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their three wives. Who knows? But there's hope today. In judgment, God remembers mercy.
Amen.
The Lord will not always chide. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He's our Father in heaven. He loves us. I do believe there's a way out. I do believe the rapture is coming. I do believe that there's going to be an escape. I pray that it's before everything falls apart, but who knows? In judgment, God remembers mercy. He took care of his children out in the wilderness where there's no water, there's no food, there's snakes. Okay, he can take care of us.
Amen.
And the Lord says, but now thus says the Lord, and I'm almost done. I'm closing right now. That created thee, O Jacob, that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Do you hear his voice today? Nick, he's called you by name, brother. He's brought you here because he loves you. He's called all of us. I have redeemed you. I died for you to pull you out of that pit. And when you pass through the water, I will be there. I will never leave you or forsake you. We have to hold on to that, folks. It may get so dark that we question even God's goodness. I will never leave you or forsake you, says the Lord. When you pass through the water, I will be there. It shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. When the fire burns this country, and it's coming,
yeah.
And Europe, and the whole world, he will never leave us or forsake you. I will be with you and walk through the fire with you. Neither shall flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, and I gave Egypt for your ransom. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your blessed servant, Lord, who came to do thy will, who came, Lord, right on the battlefield of life.
Amen.
And not only saved his friends, but went further and saved wretched enemies like us, Lord, who shook our fist at you, who didn't want you, who were running from you, Lord. But you left the 99 to save the one. Greater love, Lord, has no man given us. We love you because you first loved us, Lord.
That's right.
And no man can come unless you draw them. Lord, I pray that everyone at the sound of my voice and everyone who hears your word today will confess you, will believe you, will turn from sin, Lord, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that them and their whole household will be saved. Oh God, we'll give you the praise forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.